My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on November 20th, 2024. There wasn't really a mayor's report today, but there was a special fun thing from the zoo called Kiss the Critter, which is an annual fundraiser the council does for the zoo. Every council member fundraises. I'm unclear how they do this, but the council member with the lowest total has to kiss a critter from the zoo. This year, there was a tie for last place between Councilmember Ramirez and Councilmember Castillo, who was absent, which Ramirez jokingly pointed out. The critter this year was a plated lizard named Dixie. Councilmember Ramirez did a photo op with her, and I would like to point out there was zero kissing, which is technically false advertisement. Someone from the zoo made remarks and shared news about the new baby elephant, Kirby, who was born just last week and is, I quote, a delight. Mayor Whitmire criticized the zoo for being inaccessible to many Houstonians who cannot afford to go. He said, quote, there are hundreds of thousands of children in Houston that will never experience this zoo because it is so expensive. And, quote, we need to remember it's a city asset and it should be open, accessible to people of modest means, which means most Houstonians, end quote. Next up, there was a public hearing regarding protected landmark status for four properties, landmark status for one property, and a change of designation for part of a property in a historic district in the Heights. Roman McAllen, a historic preservation officer with the Planning and Development Department, presented each property's historic significance, what plans are in place, and explained the reason behind the designations. Councilmember Flickinger generally criticized historic preservation, giving the impression he thinks the government should stay out of what people do with their property. For instance, the current owners can preserve it, but they should not get to dictate what further owners do with it down the line, since protected landmark status makes it more difficult to demolish or alter the property. Flickinger also asked questions about property tax implications, and he suggested that demolishing a historic building and putting in a new development would achieve similar property value goals. Mr. McAllen responded saying, quote, absolutely not, emphatically not. Across the nation, it is very clear that people like places that have a sense of character, that have a history to them, end quote. There were 10 public speakers at today's hearing, most in support of the designation suggested by the department. This was definitely one of the more active public hearings I have witnessed. I'll go over a few highlights. Speaker 2 said, quote, as the houses disappear, the stories disappear. She remarked on the disparity of property valuation because of racial divides and said that historic preservation is one way to boost the value of these historically undervalued homes. A representative from Preservation Houston said, quote, these properties are irreplaceable. Several speakers encouraged council to not think in black and white. It's not historic preservation versus new development. The two can coexist and both have places in the future of Houston. One speaker remarked on how Houston has traditionally lagged in historic preservation compared to other cities. She said, quote, the process of historic preservation is not casting something in amber. It is returning a building to use, improving it. It is very much possible to stay true to the history of a building, maintain it, and make it even better, end quote. The final speaker complained about how items are presented on the agenda, saying that the PowerPoint presentations used in the public hearing today and every day should be made available so that the public can do their homework. Mayor Whitmire agreed and suggested this whole conversation might be better for a committee, as he is wont to do, which I don't think was really the intent of the speaker. They just want the docs made public. But Whitmire just really likes committees. After the hearing, I'll move on to agenda items, some selected works. Item 2 updated the Code of Ordinances to no longer require an engineer to hold the position of Director of Houston Public Works, which paved the way for item number 3 to approve Randy Mackay to that position. This was in the news, so you can look it up if you like. Mayor Whitmire defended the move against criticism, specifically mentioning a Houston Chronicle article in which the American Society of Civil Engineers criticized the move. Whitmire pointedly said, the ASCE are based in Washington, D.C. and are protecting their turf. Director Mackay thanked the council and the Houston Public Works Department for their support. He highlighted customer service, water leaks, water bill improvement, streets, and the water system in general. His remarks were smooth, and Mackay is obviously well-practiced in the public arena. He thanked his wife, whose sacrifices are a gift to this city, he said, particularly in disaster times when he must be away from home quite a bit. Many council members made supportive remarks. While thanking Director Mackay's wife and sons for their support, Councilmember Evan Shabazz said, quote, this job is a consuming fire, end quote, which is pretty dramatic. Councilmember Castix Tatum, while supportive of Director Mackay, said this ordinance change is just good policy and will serve the city in the future, not just in this instance. Item 6 approved the purchase of a mobile generator for $92,000 for the Northeast Water Purification Plant. Item 10 named a portion of the bike route along Woodhead Street in Montrose as the Pat Walsh Memorial Bikeway. Pat Walsh, who passed in 2018, was director of the city's planning and development department for 5 years. The supporting document says he was a native Houstonian, a father, a husband, friend, public servant, dog lover, and pillar of the community. Item 11 extended the agreement with and approved a further $750,000 for Fundación Latinoamérica de Acción Social, which provides housing for people affected by HIV and AIDS. Item 12 approved $125,000 for early education programs for low to moderate income families. Item 13 approved $100,000 for an early childhood development program through Search's Foshi Family House of Tiny Treasures. Item 18 approved giving $200 million to Southwest Airlines for construction on the West Concourse at Hobby Airport. The support document says the project costs are fully recoverable from the airlines following project completion in 2027 through the airline use and lease agreements. Let's just make a general note to follow up on this in 2027, see if we actually are reimbursed. Item 20 approved $89,000 for the Houston Health Department's program, My Brother's Keeper, which works with the Harris County Juvenile Probation Department for intervention and case management. Item 25 approved an $850,000 settlement to a former firefighter who alleges that she was subjected to a hostile work environment based on her sex from 2007 to 2009 by John Barrientes, who is still employed by the Houston Fire Department. This prompted a discussion on the 180-day rule, which pops up every once in a while, usually when the city is negotiating contracts with the police and fire unions. The 180-day rule restricts when disciplinary action can be taken, and it's dictated by state law, which makes it difficult for Houston to negotiate its removal from these contracts. Councilmember Alcorn said, quote, "We need women in the fire department, and stories like this don't do us any favors," end quote. Item 31 added about $1 million to the contract with the company that provides generators and related services for the city. This addition will fund a generator at the Cashmere Gardens Multi-Service Center in District B. This is a result of a budget amendment proposed by Councilmember Plummer, who thanked colleagues for their support. She said that Cashmere Gardens has been historically underserved, has a compromised life expectancy, and this is just one step to making sure that community has what it needs to survive disasters. Councilmember Jackson agreed. She's the councilmember for District B, and she thanked local advocates, and she looks forward to all resiliency hubs in Houston having the generators they need. Mayor Whitmer blamed the previous administration for the lack of generators, repeatedly saying he never would have dreamed these multi-centers wouldn't have them when he came into office. Item 39 authorized the sale of a parcel of land belonging to Buffalo Bayou Park to TxDOT, which they plan to use to reconstruct a portion of the I-45 highway. This project is known as the North Houston Highway Improvement Project. Councilmember Plummer voted no, but the item still passed, and the city will receive $613,000 in exchange for this parcel of land. Last week, items 59 and 60, you might remember they were 23 and 24 on the agenda last week, were both tagged by Councilmember Peck on behalf of Councilmember Kamen, who was absent, and last week, Councilmember Jackson also joined the tag. Item 59 addressed funding for concrete repair at several fire stations and at the Acres Homes Multi-Service Center. Item 60 addressed funding for HVAC upgrades at the African American Library. Both items passed today with no discussion. Councilmember Kamen was still absent. And finally, I'll go over the Councilmember pop-off, which is when councilmembers get to talk about whatever they like. Councilmember Evan Shabazz encouraged people to sign up for the District D newsletter by emailing districtd@houstontx.gov. Councilmember Flickinger thanked the people that helped with the Kingwood Median cleanup last Saturday, particularly the whole Parks Department, who he said he is considering financially supporting at the end of the year rather than the traditional police and fire gifts. Councilmember Jackson plugged the District B end of year celebration on December 13th at 6 p.m. at Studios at East River. RSVP is required. Councilmember Huffman encouraged everyone to please be patient at the airports during the upcoming holiday season. Councilmember Thomas shared updates on the District F is Lit campaign, which improves public safety by improving lighting. She also highlighted Afrotech, which has announced it will be back in Houston in 2025. Councilmember Peck plugged a partnership with the Fire Department's Operation Stocking Stuffer toy drive through December 6th, and she complained that heavy trash is not being picked up and implored the mayor to help. Councilmember Pollard also praised the success of AfroTech. Councilmember Alcorn plugged the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee meeting on December 3rd, which will go over the BARC Local Government Corporation proposal, a recent TERS report, and the Houston First budget. And that concludes my notes for this week's meeting on November 20th, 2024. You can find the resources that I use to compile these notes on my website, emilytakesnotes.com. And that's also where the notes live if you decide you would rather read than listen. I would like to thank our Patreon supporters. We use that money to keep the podcast edition of the notes afloat. That link is patreon.com/emilytakesnotes if anyone listening would like to join the Patreon and help make this project happen. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wasney, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.